good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always give us a call. You can call, you can text. Same number, 855-752-4842. Or if you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment there as well on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up next hour, Wendy Schwalbe is going to join us. She's with a group now called Parents as Teachers. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, find out what that organization does and how you can be involved. Education, a big, big issue here in Wisconsin, as it is around the country. So Wendy Schwalbe joining us at 11:06, if you can stick around for that. Thank goodness nothing happened over the weekend.
It was very, very quiet.
Quiet weekend. Just nothing to talk about.
Nope.
At all.
Nope.
Maybe a couple things.
Well, one or two.
Especially here in Wisconsin as a swing state where we're voting all the time, it seems like. We are eternally in an election cycle, which on the one hand makes us a little special because it means we get lots of attention. Everybody wants us. Everybody wants our votes. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's really exhausting. And people just get tired of having to go vote all the time. But it is a good thing. MyVote.wy.gov. Make sure you're registered. August 13th, primary in Wisconsin. Very important. Two constitutional amendments on the ballot. Vote no.
Yes.
And
I mean, correct.
Yes.
Sorry. Sorry.
What do they mean? Now I'm confused.
No. Yes. Right. What? Left. Yeah. First base.
We wanted to start off, though, with former President Donald Trump. On Friday, delivered a speech to a Christian group, Turning Point Actions Believers Summit in West Palm Beach. This was Friday night. In case you missed it, Donald Trump addressing a group of Christians in Florida. Calvin, let's play that clip about, thank goodness we won't have to vote anymore, clip number two.
Christians, get out and vote just this time. You won't have to do it anymore. Oh. 4 more years. You know what? It'll be fixed. It'll be fine.
Huh?
You won't have to vote anymore, my beautiful Christians. I love you, Christians. I'm a Christian. I love you. Get out. You got to get out and vote. In 4 years, you don't have to vote again.
Because everything will be great.
Yeah.
I guess. And so we will never have to vote again because...
He'll get rid of it. It's fine. Mark, those Tuesdays are yours now.
You never have to worry about blocking off a Tuesday and making plans to go vote. We're just going to get rid of voting.
Yeah.
Because once I'm elected, you don't need anything but me.
And some people might be like, you're just, you know, you're scaremongering. You're making, all right, what did he mean then? Tell me what he meant when he said you vote this one time and you don't have to worry about it after that. Did he mean vote for me and then, you know, you'll never find a better one than me? And then there's no explanation other than, vote this time, and then we'll take that off your to-do list.
Exactly. Well, you don't need that kind of pressure.
No. I got to work.
It was interesting yesterday seeing some Republicans now on the Talking Heads programs trying to walk this back a little bit. Oh, he didn't mean that he's going to get rid of voting. He just means that everything's going to be so great, and he's going to address the problems with our election systems that I don't know that they will never be unfair. They will never be. I'm baffled. If you would like to explain it to me, I would love to hear from you.
Yes, I'd love that too, please.
855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. What did Donald Trump mean when he said Friday night? Or is it just Christians will never have to vote again?
They're just going to get a pass? I mean,
like, they get a free dispensation?
Yeah, maybe they just, it's their eternal vote. Like, from now on, they vote this way, and then they'll just apply all the next votes.
To the way they vote this year.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know, Jane. This sounds like a man who's just maybe not all there talking about voting and elections. And maybe he should do the right thing and step down from the elections because he's too old to hold the office. I mean, I remember like a month ago hearing that from his side too. I mean, yes, the liberals said that but it seems like he's having a hard time, you know, making ideas stick out there. And now his talking heads have to justify it. And
exactly. And I mean, Chris Sununu was on one of the shows yesterday morning, and he's just joking. It's just a joke because he is such a chucklemeister, as we all know. Donald Trump is nothing if not hilarious.
Yes, he is. I mean, comedy gold every time.
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched his 14 Netflix specials? I'm kidding. They don't exist. he's joking. Also, voting isn't something to joke about in this context with those kinds of words. I'm sorry. And could you, in a world, doesn't matter who it is, Kamala, Joe, Barack, Michelle, Al Franken, my mom, they get on a podium in front of a bunch of people and say something, the exact same words. Right now, every right-wing news outlet would be on fire.
Oh, yes.
It'd be all they were talking about.
The Democrats want to burn down democracy.
But when they do it, it's just a joke. Don't worry about it.
The Democrats want to take away your right to vote.
Nope. In fact, I don't want to say we because I'm not paid by them, but I feel like Democrats have done a lot to expand the ability to vote And that's for everybody.
Republicans, too.
Yeah, they want to make sure you can vote
early.
You
can cast your ballot.
Yeah, that's the important part. Not this, vote one more time, and then you're done.
And you never have to worry about it again, because we'll take care of it for you.
Vote via Amazon Prime.
Sue, on the live stream, and a bunch of Republicans that were interviewed this weekend all just laughed it off. Yep. No one explained what he meant. Because there needs to be a special Trump interpreter or something, right?
Oh, God, who wants it? You think that's what they think J.D. Vance is supposed to be? Like
the Trump whisperer?
His Trump whisperer, like speaking to younger people and taking those weird thoughts out of the clouds and put them into actual. Because J.D. Vance also very fun with words.
Oh, so good. And charismatic.
Charismatic and beloved. Let me tell you something. You talk to anybody high up in the Trump outfit in that campaign, every day they're like, thank God he's here. If it wasn't for him,
yes.
I don't know. Don Jr., where are you? Let me pat you on the shoulder.
Yes, he was very influential in getting J.D. Vance as the pick.
Good work, buddy. We couldn't be more proud. That's not at all what's happening. It's chaos right now.
It is chaos.
Yeah.
And it will be very interesting to see if J.D. Vance remains on the ticket.
Yep.
Then I can't wait to find out the justification that the Republicans are going to use for that. When they have threatened to sue the Biden camp for deciding not to run again and then picking Kamala Harris as the VP. It's like, oh, no, you can't do that.
Maybe. Well,
but Vance is already on the ticket. He was nominated. He accepted it.
You guys did this.
Isn't that done?
It feels like it's done. I mean, I did reach out to Jim Santel for some information on that. We can read maybe later or tomorrow. He's your guy. Maybe they could pull an Oscars thing. They accidentally wrote down the wrong name. We meant to put, what's the North Dakota governor?
Burgum.
Burgum.
It was a misspelling?
Yeah, it was just, we misspelled Doug Burgum. It was just a very, Eric was supposed to write that down. He wrote J.D. Vance instead. Because
I could see how that could happen.
Exactly.
We also want to play one little clip. Donald Trump, of course, famous for coming up with stupid nicknames for people he doesn't like. He comes up with stupid nicknames for just about everyone that he doesn't like. But specifically talking about Vice President Kamala Harris's name, Calvin, let's play that clip, shall we?
But if radical liberal Kamala Harris gets in, and by the way, there are numerous ways of saying her name.
No.
They were explaining to me, you can say Kamala, you can say Kamala. I said, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter what I say. I couldn't care less if I mispronounce it or not. I couldn't care less. Some people think I mispronounce it on purpose, but actually I've heard it said about seven different ways. There are a lot of ways.
No.
There are a lot of
no,
ways.
No, they're not. It's Kamala.
There's two ways to pronounce the name. There's one correct way for Kamala Harris. That's it.
Yeah, pretty much. But if he's going to take that take, then shouldn't that apply for the rest of us?
Yeah.
So we can call him Duntnold.
I like that one.
D-U-H.
I always like calling him Donald Johnald Trump.
Perfectly acceptable.
Because he never gets miffed when people are mean to him. He's like a man with a thick tan skin.
Oh, such a thick skin.
Calvin, you have something that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I like Don Old.
Don Old. That sounds Irish. Donald.
Resident young person with a good take there.
I like that. Very, very good. Yeah, it's just that open disrespect and, you know, it's just the same. And now because she's a woman and a woman of color, he gets to make different digs at her. And it'll never be responsibility. You'll always be like, well, is that what I meant? You took it wrong. That kind of thing. You're so sensitive.
You don't get sarcasm. Right.
Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine Donald Trump?
Oh, there's another clip we wanted to share with you. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Donald Trump mentioning on Friday to Turning Point Christian activists in Florida that once Christians come out and vote for him this year, they're never going to have to vote again because it's all going to be fixed. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means. Do we have time, Calvin, to play the clip of Donald Trump in Minnesota? Let's do that real quickly.
If they don't cheat, we win this state easily, okay? They cheat. They have no shame. They cheat. Do you understand that, you crooked people? They're the most crooked. They cheat. They cheated in the last election, and they're going to cheat in this election, but we're going to get them. They used COVID to cheat.
What?
Huh? And what? This time they'll try and find something, but we think we have them blocked. They have no shame whatsoever.
There is no evidence.
Yeah.
After 4 years.
Yeah.
There is no evidence the 2020 election was stolen in any state, including here in Wisconsin, as evidenced by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, those crazy radicals over there.
Those liberal activists.
And Robin Voss.
You know. Liberal to the hilt.
Just cuckoo.
Yeah.
All right. J.D. Vance. We're going to focus a little bit on J.D. He tried to do a little walking back over the weekend, so I hope you'll stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, ready to take your calls and your texts at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget to download the Civic Media app. You can take us with you wherever you go. Just go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic Media. Download that. You can listen to all the stations all across our network, No matter where you are.
Yes.
And you can also subscribe to our podcasts.
You can do that by going to the website.
Civicmedia.us.
Or go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice. Find us. Take us wherever you are, whether you're listening live or catching up. We want to be there with you and hang out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Me, Jane, Calvin, we want to be your buds.
And it's all free.
It's all free.
Complete and absolutely free. We were talking about Donald Trump, over the weekend, Friday, talking to a group in Florida. Essentially telling Christians, hey, it's all good. All you have to do is just vote for me this time, and then you'll never have to vote again because everything's going to be fixed. Mm-hmm. We'll wait for some clarification on what that means. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to.
Yeah.
And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah. We've already got some ones coming through. What would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in, Conald. Conald.
Conald.
Dump.
There it is.
Dave from New Berlin.
There it is.
Like that. Don't hate that. Also, Calvin's was Don Old. Don Old Trump.
Mine is, and what was yours again?
Donald.
Donald.
Duh.
I go with Donald Trump.
They all work.
Yeah, they're all good. They're all different ways of pronouncing his name.
Exactly.
There's like 8 or 10 of them.
Who said there's rules?
Exactly. And who
when
said
it comes
there's
to
a
people's
correct,
names?
And who said there's a correct one?
Right.
Exactly.
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Yeah.
Just, anyway. J.D. Vance got a lot of attention last week.
He just keeps insisting on talking.
He does keep talking. We're going to replay, in case you missed it, and if you did, I'm not quite sure how that happened.
Yeah, right.
But in case you missed this last week, here's J.D. Vance talking about how childless ladies and childless Democrats are essentially ruining the country because they have no investments in the future of America. Calvin, let's play that clip.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
You're right. I care about nothing. I'm childless. I'm also catless and dogless. So apparently I have no investment in this country.
Get out of America.
Right? I just don't belong.
No.
That's really gone over well, the childless cat lady thing.
Yeah.
And I think what I love the most about this is when he tried to walk it back by talking to Megyn Kelly over the weekend. Essentially, all he did was say that he doesn't have anything against cats. Not that women without children are fine. It was essentially, I don't hate cats. Okay, good.
Good job.
But that's great.
It's just this open hatred of women. Meanwhile, at any point, they're always talking about how we have to protect women. They're always about the women are the most, they're the childbearers. They raise the family. But we don't have to like them, love them, or respect them. We just need them around to be the conduits to give us more children and more babies and more workers.
Exactly.
And maybe to taxpayers, that's debatable.
Yeah. J.D. Vance, when talking to Megyn Kelly, did not apologize for his description of Kamala Harris as a childless cat lady, saying only it was a sarcastic comment, clarifying he had nothing against cats. But he insisted that the substance of his criticism of Harris is true. So, again, essentially, he is doubling down on his claim that people without children, and specifically women without children, have no investment in our country. And I guess then we shouldn't be able to vote. Because he does want parents who have children to be able to vote proxy for their kids until they reach the age of 18.
Yeah, that's a new one I feel like is not getting enough play. That's he said, if you are a parent, you should be able to take the total number of children, get extra votes, and vote on their behalf. What are we even
talking about
right now?
Yeah, that's kind of loopy.
Yeah, and this is something, too, that, you know, we talked about this last week as far as, excuse me, it's not just AOC and Kamala. Kamala has 2 stepchildren.
Right.
Pete Buttigieg has 2 children.
Yes.
AOC has no children, which is fine. But also, Lindsey Graham has no children.
Glenn Grothman has no children.
George Washington had no biological
children. He had 2 stepchildren.
He had 2 stepchildren, but he had no biological children. My point is, Doug Imhoff's ex-wife came out and said that Kamala is an excellent stepmother and mother figure to their children. And why are there not more step parents or adoptive parents enraged by this? Because essentially what J.D. Vance is saying is unless it's biological, it doesn't count.
Apparently.
Period. You adopt, not the same. Stepchildren, not the same.
No.
So where is the outrage on behalf of parents? Because just because you have children biologically doesn't make you a great parent either. So
that's an important distinction.
The thing that really frustrates me when people say like, she has no children. Yes, she does. They might not be her biological children, but she's been in their life for 10 years.
We still don't know who Kamala Harris's vice presidential pick is going to be.
Yeah.
Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, was all over the place this weekend.
I just wanted to be my friend.
All kinds of clips. Just to highlight a little difference between the two men.
Yeah.
Gavin, let's play this clip from Tim Walz talking to Jake Tapper on CNN.
But you've legalized recreational marijuana, you passed universal background checks on guns, you expanded LGBTQ protections, you implemented tuition-free college for low-income Minnesotans, there's free breakfast and lunch for school kids. Do you think your record is an asset to the ticket, or would it risk fueling Trump's attacks as you being a big government liberal?
What a monster. Kids are eating and having full bellies so they can go learn. And women are making their own health care decisions. And we're a top five business state. And we also rank in the top three of happiness. Look, they're going to label whatever they're going to label. He's going to roll it out, mispronounce names, you know, to try and make the case. The fact of the matter is, where you see the policies that Vice President Harris was a part of making, Democratic governors across the country executed those policies, and quality of life is higher, the economies are better, all of those things. Educational attainment is better. So, yeah. My kids are going to eat here, and you're going to have a chance to go to college, and you're going to have an opportunity to live where we're working on reducing carbon emissions. Oh, and by the way, you're going to have personal incomes that are higher, and you're going to have health insurance. So if that's where they want to label me, I'm more than happy to take the label.
Again, it remains to be seen who will be the vice presidential pick, but Tim Walz certainly making some pretty good statements over the weekend, just to give you a little comparison between the two. All right, news is coming up next. When we return, supremely corrupt. Let's talk about the Supreme Court. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, or if you're listening on the app, there's a way you can call and text directly from the app. So that's pretty cool, too. We always love to hear from you. Coming up at 11:06, we're going to be joined by Wendy Schwalbe. She was the teacher state leader in Wisconsin for Wisconsin Parents as Teachers, and she has recently joined the board of directors at Parents as Teachers. So we're going to find out what that organization does, what it means, what its goals are, and how this would affect you and your children. Maybe there's a way you can get involved as well. Kind of assume that from the Parents as Teachers slogan there. So that's coming up at 11:06. Wanted to start off this half hour, though, with President Biden over the weekend endorsing sweeping changes to the Supreme Court. He published an op-ed today in the Washington Post. Biden's suggestions call for 18-year term limits for the justices and a binding enforceable ethics code for the highest court in the land. President Biden also pushing for a constitutional amendment prohibiting blanket immunity for presidents. This after, of course, the court just ruled that former President Donald Trump is immune from prosecution for acts committed while he was president.
This might be also another Jim Santel question. Can the court hand down a decision, and can there be a constitution voted on it? Won't the court's decision already rule it unconstitutional then? You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Not a judge, not a lawyer.
We're lawyer adjacent.
I went pre-law, and that's where I stopped. But to me, I'm not against it. I'm all about term limits for judges.
I think so too.
The only thing I would say in there is that they do not run for election. They are appointed, and the process of getting them in is still, because we do not want to see Supreme Court commercials for
no. Running for office?
Exactly.
No, certainly don't. That we don't need.
18 years and oversight? Come on, bring it on.
Calvin, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it sounds like a great idea. From my understanding to Greg's point, if it was a constitutional amendment, it would not be able to be ruled unconstitutional because it would then be a part of the Constitution. And there is a very high bar of entry for constitutional amendments, though. I think it takes like 2/3
It takes
of
a
both
lot.
House
yeah,
or like
it,
that.
It, oh, yeah. It takes a lot.
The ERA still hasn't been voted into law.
It's and like, that was in 1978. I remember it very well.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Lindsey Graham says that any reforms would be dead on arrival in the Senate, accusing Democrats and President Biden of wanting to destroy and pack the court. You want to talk about court packing?
I mean, he hasn't said he's going to add justices, has he?
No.
No. And I don't even think that's the, like, to me, that's not even the best idea. When people are like, he needs to pack the court. You know that's going, that can backfire on you.
Oh, absolutely.
And so for me personally, I feel like, I think oversight's great, and I think term limits are wonderful. And I don't even know I'd say 18 years.
Again, why that? It just seems like, when do you make it just 20 years?
I mean,
why 18?
I would say like 15 years, 10, 12. I mean, I don't know. Just 18 years just seems like a long time. I don't know. That seems like a very random number.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem like a random number. I'm trying to like relate it to other terms. It doesn't line up with presidential terms if they're still going to be the ones appointing. Why wouldn't you make it 16 or like you said, 20?
So that it would change with a new administration?
It would change with administrations.
Or they wouldn't be changing hands at the same time either.
Well, maybe that's why they did the 18. Yeah. So there wouldn't be
it's offset.
Yeah, yeah, so it's off years.
But I just love that. In an effort to protect the process, checks and balances. You know, one of the most important parts of our
Constitution?
Republic.
Yeah.
Here comes Lindsey Graham. Childless, by the way.
He is childless.
And unmarried.
Should he really have any say about
anything? Trust me, I think for many reasons he should have no say. But... yeah, this is an attack. No, it's not. You're getting nervous, my friend, my southern gentleman.
Well, and I would love to see who is going to oversee the courts, the Supreme Court, to make sure they behave. I mean, where are these people going to come from, and who is going to decide who sits on this ethical panel to oversee the Supremes? I volunteer. I'm happy to help out. It's my civic duty.
It's your civic media duty.
That's right.
I think that, you know, honestly, you make it a committee with sort of like the FEC. I think it's the FEC.
Federal Elections Commission.
Where it's like three Democrats, three Republicans, or like that.
Like a bipartisan kind of panel.
A bipartisan thing where it has, you know, and it's appointed by whomever, whether it's the Senate or the president appoints it. There are ways of absolutely doing this, and it should have been done a long time ago. Yes. There's nothing to me. There's never been anything special about having a lifetime appointment with next to no accountability in this country, because no other position's treated like that.
No, no other judge could get away with this.
No. So yeah, I think it's a great idea. And honestly, if it seemed legit, I'd be down for it. If it was a Republican promoting this idea too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
To me, this is a bipartisan
yes.
protection of checks and balances.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. And I think that's a really good point. I think most Democrats and independents would probably also agree that this is not a bad thing.
No.
To have some oversight on the highest court in the land.
Why would Joe Biden push for a constitutional amendment to take away the thing the Supreme Court just gave him, which is basically kingdom?
A free pass.
A free pass as a president?
Yep.
Please.
Yep. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you so much for joining us. What do you think about this?
Well, first of all, the Constitution does not say that the Supreme Court and the federal court justices and judges are appointed for a lifetime. They are appointed for terms of, and this is a quote from the Constitution, good behavior. Pretty clearly, a lot of these so-called judges and justices have exceeded that criterion. There is, in my opinion, for what it's worth, nothing to keep legislatively from establishing term limits. Like I said, it doesn't say lifetime appointments. Having said that, I do believe, and I'm not. This is where a real lawyer should try to get this information. But I believe that the Congress can make a law and they can say this law is not subject to Supreme Court oversight. I believe that can be done if they put it into the law. Now, I've read that someplace, and I've been unable to find the reference, unfortunately. But if they can do that, then they should be able to establish term limits. They should be able to establish ethical standards and say specifically what those are and what will happen to these justices if they exceed them. Now, there is a third approach that I've also seen, and that is don't establish term limits. If they are going to be appointed for life, say, okay, you're appointed for life. But after 20 years, 15 years, 18 years, you become a justice emeritus. You can advise, you can be used for references, but you don't get to vote after that period of time.
That would be interesting, Jack. That would be very interesting. Unfortunately, I feel this way about the Democrats who are in the Supreme Court as well. They're going to fight over any ethical oversight. They already did.
Yeah.
They already did. But I think this should be something that Americans can agree upon, that they should be held to some ethical standards, right?
Absolutely. There is no question on that. In my opinion, what should have been done when Biden got into office initially, and he passed a whole bunch of legislation and he used a lot of political capital to do that. In my opinion, one of the first things that Biden should have pressed for is expansion of the court. And here is some of the reasoning behind that. When the Supreme Court was expanded to 9 justices, there were 9 federal district courts as well, or court districts. And essentially what you had was one justice had oversight for each one of the districts. There are now 13 federal districts, and it seems reasonable to me that Biden should have pressed for expansion of the court to 4 more justices as soon as he got into office. And besides the fact that very obviously McConnell had stacked the court previously, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the reason. I really think that it should be expanded to those 13 justices.
Well, and I think it's really important too, Jack, you just reminded me, because we forget, and I certainly forget, just exactly how Mitch McConnell ripped off Barack Obama from being able to place his Supreme Court justice pick, at least to have hearings on him.
Yeah,
and Mitch McConnell essentially said, we're too close to the next election.
It was 9 months.
The voters need to have the chance to weigh in on the next president who will decide who gets to take the next seat. And then, of course, when Trump was in office and they shoved in Amy Coney Barrett 2 weeks before the election.
Yeah. Well, also, when did they start? After Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, within a week?
Oh, yeah.
And it was closer to the election than that.
Oh, it was very close to the election.
Looking it up, too.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you, Jack, for calling. Love hearing from you. The reason why that the Supreme Courts have lifetime appointments, this is based on a suggestion from Alexander Hamilton in the Federalist Papers, Federalist number 78, where he felt, and this makes sense for back then, that justices' objectivity would be preserved if they didn't have to run for re-election or for reappointment. And I get that to a certain extent, but times they are a-changing, and times they have changed. And I feel like that's what we have seen now is the, you know, honor system of one Mr. Hamilton has been taken for granted, probably for a lot longer than we ever expect. And I have a feeling that this whole topic will be like abortion, gun rights, marijuana, where a majority of America will be like, yeah, let's do that.
We all agree on this.
But the people in charge will be like, no, we must save America. America's in trouble if he wants to change anything at all. That could ruin my career.
Well, people like Harlan Crow certainly aren't going to be excited about some ethical commission overseeing their bribes.
He's probably trying to buy a second one right now.
Right?
Yeah.
So I can just imagine the billions of dollars that would be spent on lobbying people, telling us why this would be bad.
Yeah.
Why the Supremes are all supremely ethical, and so they don't need any oversight.
Well, the nine of them think that.
They're supremes. It says it in the name.
Yeah.
Says it in the name.
That's the thing that will always stick in my craw for the rest of time is that the nine of them said that too.
Yeah.
Not just six, not seven, yeah. Not one.
But nine.
All nine of them said we do not need oversight. Bunk.
Term limits and an ethics code are subject to congressional approval, according to the Washington Post. The Republican-controlled House unlikely to support either of the proposals, which also requires 60 votes to pass the Senate. Democrats only have 51 seats in the upper chamber. Passing a constitutional amendment requires clearing even more jumps, including two-thirds of both chambers or via a convention of two-thirds of the states, then approved by three-fourths of state legislatures. So, yeah, making this happen is going to be so easy.
But you know what I'll say about this? And I don't disagree with what Jack said, which it should have happened earlier. But once again, I think this is another example of Joe Biden saying, okay, now I've got 6 months and no election. Let's see
this is what I'm going to focus on. Or exactly. One of the things.
And to like one of the focuses to like not take away your power, but to directly address the power you've just been handed says a great deal about that man.
855-752-4842. Call or text if you'd like to join the conversation. John from Boaz, I see you on the line. We will take you right after this. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Danson, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call or text 855-752-4842. And if you're watching in the live stream, you want to tune in on the live stream if you can on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, just for the dance parties that occasionally break out here in the studio.
Look at us.
Especially by Greg Bach.
Look at us, live streamers. Look at us.
We were talking before the break about President Biden suggesting some changes to the United States Supreme Court, including some ethics oversight, which sounds like a pretty good idea to me. What do you think? 855-752-4842. John from Boaz, thank you for your patience. John, what did you want to say this morning?
Hi, Jane. I love your show.
Thank you, John.
Before we get into the politics of the Constitution, you remember when George Stephanopoulos asked Trump, no, he asked Biden some questions. Why don't we have Jane get on the air and ask Trump to state United States Constitution to the letter in the period? And who was the lion in Wizard of Oz? What was his thing? What was he known for? The lion in the Wizard of Oz, because this will be baby boomers.
Well, he needed bravery. He needed courage. And I am all for Jane Matt Nair interviewing Donald Trump. Let me host it. You will moderate. I will host it. Please, Civic Media. I'm talking to our corporate friends upstairs, the ones who live above us and love us so. Please make this happen.
I'm sure Donald Trump would just, yes, because my profile's so high, you guys. I know I'd be right at the top of the list.
Bill, they don't do research. What are you talking
about?
That's
true. Betting is not their big thing.
Yeah.
Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill.
You asked about what people feel about putting quality and honest and diplomacy and integrity back in the Supreme Court. I think the country agrees that unanimously. And I think for Biden to orchestrate it now, he's in a perfect position to do it because he's not running again.
Right.
So he's got a little more leeway than Kamala. And that way he can do, if he grasps that concept and does it, follows through, oh my gosh, Kamala is gaining strength, whether Fox wants to admit it or not. And slowly, everything's ticking her way. Well, let's just keep energizing this thing. We only have 100 days left, and I mean only.
Yeah.
So let's keep feeding that fire, and thanks for what you do. And I bet, Jane, I bet you have interviewed people of integrity, correct?
Absolutely. I've had the great fortune to talk to all kinds of people, Bill.
So then you could interview Donald.
I think you could.
Well, I think that's very kind of you guys. I think that's very gracious of you. Text line says, hey, Jane, debate me. Here's my offer.
Yeah.
Here's my offer. I will be out at the Waukesha Farmers Market this Saturday. Thank you, Bill, by the way, for calling, and always thank you for listening. I will be out at the Waukesha Farmers Market this Saturday from 8 until noon.
Mm-hmm.
I will buy the best scones you've ever had in your life. We will sit down and share a scone of peace. I'll buy you a cup of coffee, and we can chat for as long as you like, because we have time constraints on this program that we have to follow, and we have breaks that we have to adhere to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like to talk about something that's off topic, you can bring whatever gripes you have. Bring them, bring them, bring them. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Join me this Saturday, Waukesha Farmers Market, 8 to 12. Look for the Civic Media tent. We have two chairs there. David, our helper, is there to help me set up. We can sit down and have a long chat, share a scone of peace.
The scone of peace summits.
And a cuppa. And a cuppa. Mike from Kenosha is on the line. Good morning, Mike. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. You know, I believe that listening to the Republicans and specifically Trump over the weekend, he's still claiming stolen elections.
Oh, yeah.
He's still claiming that the only way the Dems will win is with fraud. So my suggestion for the Democratic Party is, if you don't have in your paperwork the requirement to go along with a certified election outcome, then make it a pledge for yourself that we Democrats or this whatever candidate, I will abide by certified election outcomes, no matter if I win or lose.
But you remember, Mike, Trump refused to do that when he ran in 2016, because the RNC wanted all of the candidates to agree to throw their support behind whoever the nominee was for the Republican Party, and Trump refused. He refused.
Well, and now it's become a thing now where if you are a member of the Republican Party, you are no longer allowed to say you will accept the results.
That's the worst. I mean, that's like the worst sin you can commit.
Robin Voss, they tried to recall him twice. Not because he's a rhino, not because he's voting for Harris or for Biden. He's voting for Trump. He's made that very clear, because he simply said the election was secure, it was safe, it was fair, and it's over. Let's move on. Now they try to recall him twice. So it's even beyond the idea of like signing a deal or making a pledge. It's like, you just have to, all you have to say is, of course I'll accept the result. That's not a controversial statement.
Well, and I'm telling you, because then, thank you, Mike, for your call, and thank you for listening. He said it over the weekend in Minnesota.
Yeah.
They're going to cheat. If I don't win Minnesota, they're going to cheat. So this is going to be the exact same playbook we saw after 2020, mm-hmm. when they're going to complain. He was robbed. It was rigged. He's been setting the stage for this. He's done this his entire life. When he lost to Ted Cruz in the Iowa caucuses before the 2016 election, he claimed that was rigged.
I'm hoping that if that happens, if he loses and he claims cheating, because we've been through this 4 years ago, there might be a little less like, fine, just go. Think whatever you think. We have things to do. We have things to do in this country.
And places to go.
Yeah.
And the news is
scones to eat.
And news is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
die.